Good evening. There are times when a day seems like a month. Maybe this is one of those days. It's been a very long one. The first day is invariably a bumpy one. We run and run and run to get here. It takes a big effort just to get here and a lot of thinking and speed. And then suddenly it's like hitting a wall, like Bugs Bunny hitting a wall. Stars over and sort of boing. We have to stop. So it takes a little while. It takes a couple of days to slow down. But this day for a first day has gone very well. This supper that we had is a new thing, as some of you know. In Shakyamuni Buddha's time, they only had two meals a day, a very light breakfast, and then whatever they gathered in the morning in their begging bowl was what they had for the main meal. It's still done that way in all the Southern Asian countries. They still do it the way Buddha and his disciples did, just two meals a day. And in very hot climates, that's fine. It works very well. You're not so hungry in the heat. Don't move so much in the heat, even. When the Dharma moved to more temperate climates in China and Korea and Japan, temperate and cold in the winter, it became obvious that more food had to go into to fuel the Buddhas as they sat and worked. And so they created a kind of fake meal, a medicine meal, they call it. So the way you're supposed to do it in the tradition and the way we've always done it is to eat orioki also in the evening, but only use the two little bowls, not the Buddha bowl, and so not very much food. And traditionally, it's the rice and vegetables that were served for lunch. So it's leftovers, which at Jikoji took many strange forms. There was one fellow who just put everything in the blender and made a soup with it every single night, a slightly different tasting soup every single night. So that was one way. But in Boulder, they made enough leftovers so that we could have leftovers for dinner in a kind of civilized manner, in the way that we just did it tonight. And that worked so well that we're doing it as a kind of experiment, which so far seems to be working very well. One little change is that as soon as we've finished eating, we can get up and wash our dish and excuse ourselves so that the whole thing goes faster. The faster the meals go, the more rest time you all will have. And rest time is important also. And if there's not enough rest time between the meals, then we begin to steal it away from zazen, and that doesn't work so very well. So we're trying to find ways of broadening the rest period by shortening the meals. Oryoki, I learned this year, this summer, it means just enough. So it's not that we're eating great feasts. We are eating just enough. Fortunately, this week we're eating extremely well, just enough. But it doesn't have to be more than we need. There are Thai monks who trained in Thailand who are practicing at a beautiful monastery up in Ukiah. One of them is from Canada and the other is from England. They wear the robes of Thai monks, which is this kind of robe, but without anything underneath. Just an orange cotton robe. It's cold up there. And they just have two meals a day. A little breakfast, and then they have great big bowls. They're about this big, the Buddha bowls. And they go into Ukiah and do the takuhatsu rounds, knocking on people's doors and gathering up vegetables and rice and taking it back and cooking it up and having a feast. And then in the evening, the no-meal meal is hot tea with lots and lots and lots of honey. They just load up the tea with honey, and that gets them through until their little breakfast in the morning. They go by all the rules of the original Buddhists. There are 200 something of them. They're not allowed to touch women. They're not allowed to handle money. They're not allowed to receive anything in their hands. Women are put at the very end of the line, even if they've been ordained long, long before anybody else. There are all these esoteric rules and regs that they follow to the letter. We're doing monastic practice also in a little different tradition. But it is monastic practice just for a week. In Japan, they think we're quite strange. In Japan, ordinary people don't do this very often. It's considered to be just for monks. Monks can sit, but ordinary people can't do it. In fact, when Kobin came here, he had some doubts for a long time. He kept expressing his amazement that we not only were sitting, but we wanted to sit more. How can that be? Gaijin. So little by little, he gave us the sort of outline of how to do this and how to do it well, taking care of each other and finding the discipline in us, in each one of us. He never went in and dragged us out of bed if we slept in. He never held us to anything. He said, it's all up to you. And it's still up to us to carry this on. and such a privilege. I want to remind you about the sort of comportment of Zazen. It's important to have good posture. And it's easy to forget, especially when we sit long sits, we begin to lose. It's easy to lose our sense of our edges and where we are, how we are. So it's important to free up the breath, free up the shoulders, and keep the head balanced so that it's not too far forward or too far back. The head is heavy. And it creates a lot of problems on the shoulders if it's too far forward, and a lot of problems also if it's too far back. The lower back begins to suffer. And you can experiment with it to find the right place for it. You can nod it this way, and you can sort of shake it this way. If you line up your ears with your shoulders, you'll have a pretty good sense of where your head is and where it's supposed to be. It's usually much farther back than you think. So it requires a bend in your lower back and your lumbar curve, which is just opposite your hara. So you can feel the front and the back as they are one thing. Sometimes we just think of the front as us, but the back is us too. And we breathe all of it together. So experiment with that also, so that you're relaxed as well as aligned. You know, to be straight and keep your head in line is one thing, but to relax your shoulders is another, so that all things work. And it takes a while to get comfortable. There are all kinds of resistances in us. Psychic resistances, emotional resistances, and just sheer physical body. I sometimes think in the first few days the body just wants to stand right up and run away. How can you make me do this? So gently and kindly we try to persuade ourselves that this is okay. It's safe. It's friendly. And it has a great power in it. That slowly, slowly we begin to experience. If you are sitting and your mudra is if it's too hard to hold it up, then you can put something underneath to give yourself more support, and that will help your shoulders also. So a little cushion or a towel, anything that will be helpful in holding it this way. And then you want it to be an oval with the fingers lining up with each other And then the thumbs touching as if you were holding a piece of paper, a single piece of paper. So it's some pressure, but not too much. Just a bit. This is a very powerful mudra. You can feel it. It brings everything together. All the different sides of us come together this way. If it's too much, you can sit with your, hold your right thumb with your left hand and just wrap it around this way. This will ease the intensity if there's too much intensity, and just rest it against your hara. You might want to try that, and keep that in your luggage in case you need it. But this one, for Zazen, is the most helpful. It opens us up and keeps us focused at the same time. And then the head not only balanced and straight, but the chin tucked a bit so that the eyes are cast down. Well, I don't know how to describe it on the wall. It's about 6 feet in front of us when we're sitting this way. So they're not closed, but they're half closed and looking down. So there's a kind of rest in the eyes. We see at the very back of our head, in the back of the brain, we receive the light up here. This is all reception, light reception. But we don't see with this. We see with this. So it helps to think of that when we're looking, to just let this part look and not stare with the eyes. Just be easy, soft eyes. Soft eyes and soft breath. Let the breath just be what it wants to be. Sometimes it wants to be fast, and sometimes it hardly is breathing at all. But we just let it be what it wants to be. Hard to do. We tend to want to tell it or to organize it. Think we know what it should be doing, but really we don't. And it's one of the best ways of going into the mode of the mind that doesn't know. The mind that can't control it all. And the mind that doesn't have to. Truly, Zazen is the practice of giving up. Our dominance, you could say. And allowing ourselves to be lived. In walking, best way is to keep your mind on the soles of your feet. You keep your balance that way because that's really what's happening. We're thinking up here, organizing, directing ourselves. We get kind of ditzy. We lose our balance. We don't drive our feet. The feet carry us. So if we put our attention at the soles of our feet, then the whole system takes care of itself and the balance maintains. Vanya always says that with each step, we're arriving. So that's very helpful. We're not going anywhere. Each step, we're already there. They're already here. Here. And the next step, here. I saw Endgame last week in Santa Cruz, Samuel Beckett's play, weird, strange, crazy play. It's an irascible old man in a wheelchair who's furious because he's come to the end. And at one point he says, there's no there out there anymore. There's just here. And he finds it a terrible situation. But the truth is, that's the real situation. And that's what we practice. The there, out there, is all projection. It's here. So in all of its different ways that we practice, whether it's ringing the bell or lighting the incense or cleaning up the zendo, all the different things that we do, as well as sitting, just to be here. Dogen Zenji many times quotes an old Chinese master whose advice about Zazen is, think not thinking. Think not thinking. And then there's a little more piece. How? Beyond thinking. As we launch this boat out on the deep ocean, or maybe into the deep ocean, of course we're thinking a lot. The advice is not to stop thinking. That creates a tremendous amount of distress. We can let the thinking keep going as long as it wants to. But we can think beyond thinking. That's a very interesting kind of challenge for us. What is non-thinking that's beyond thinking? Dogen Zenji said, at the heart of the teaching is a practicing Buddha who does not seek to become a Buddha. At the heart of the teaching is a practicing Buddha who does not seek to become a Buddha. We don't practice to get perfect or better, or even calm and tranquil. We practice because this is Buddha's way. This is Buddha's practice itself. So there's nothing to attain. And if we really trust not attain, no attainment, then as the Heart Sutra says, the mind is no hindrance. It doesn't stop. It just doesn't get in the way. Dogen said over and over, sitting itself is Buddha itself. We don't have to go anywhere. So that's my message this evening. We have a new face this evening. And I thought maybe we should go around and do introductions tonight. I'm not sure everybody knows everybody. And say where you're from, too.
Sylvian from Akira, Hunter County. Kitty from San Jose. Jane from San Jose.
Samuel from Los Angeles.
Wendy from San Jose.
Emily from Watsonville.
Sam from Fremont.
Anthony from San Rafael. Judith from Taos, New Mexico.
Shelley from Arcata, California.
Julian from San Jose.
Me too, from San Jose, but I live in Los Angeles.
Britt from Mountain View.
Angie from up in the hills. So are there questions, comments? Shelley?
You were talking about thinking beyond, thinking not thinking, and to go ahead and think and not stop thinking, and then beyond thinking, and that's where I get hung up. And I know that's not the easy part, I suppose. I'm not sure what I'm asking, maybe just time and practice, maybe breaking through, I suppose. I don't know if you could answer instead of me answering my question.
Well, the more you try it, the farther away you are. So best way is to throw up your hands and give up and just be there with it. Just be there completely and wholly as much as you possibly can as you are. And keep your mind open for what's there. Don't have any idea about breaking through or anything like that, because that's all made up. Just be scientifically curious. What is this now? What is this? And just see what happens. You'll see it changes and changes and changes. Julian?
I'm a little, in my practice, I'm a little bit concerned that sometimes words are going through my brain, like a sentence or something, but like, I notice it's stopping kind of like before the sentence finishes. And I'm wondering is, I don't know if I'm stopping my thought, or if I'm just, if, you know, does that, I'm not sure if I'm stepping over myself and not being.
Well, you might be. You're a bit bent over. Your head is forward rather than straight. So this is the position that I was talking about before, the thinker's position, when the head is down, I guess to get more blood into it. But but you might want to make sure that you've tucked your chin and that your neck is straight, so that I think you'll find it's easier then. See what happens. The brain just does squirt thinking. It's made to do that. And we can witness it. But of course, the witness is also thinking. And as Chogyam Trungpa says, the witness has a witness. So you can get pretty tangled up in it. It's better just to let it go. Let it be what it wants to be and not get involved with it. Don't design a new house or a new dress or a new recipe. Just let it come and go. Bow to it. Thank you very much. And let it go. I'd be glad to do that. What I'll do is walk around, and if you don't want me to adjust your posture, put your hands in gassho, and then I won't touch you. So if you don't do anything, then I'll come around and do it as I walk around. Yeah. And maybe Donalyn can do it also one of these times when you're in the Zendo, if you're not too busy. Which reminds me, there was something I wanted to tell you about that I learned from Darlene Cohen, who said that with this mudra, we often let it slide, and it goes, instead of being here, it sort of goes on down, down, down. She said, we fail to put enough energy into our hands. So it's not about holding it up. It's about actually putting energy into the hands. And that I found extremely helpful in staying awake and staying alert as well as awake. And the mind, if it's focused down here, is much less distracting. The mind is in the hands, then it's not so likely to go running off in 1,000 different directions. There's been more coughing than usual today, and I'm wondering if it's the flowers or the incense or the room. Does anybody have any thought about it? I'm a bit concerned.
The windows don't open, but maybe this door can be opened during our breaks in the front door to get more circulation. And if you'd like to maybe create a bit of cough freeze, if with the permission of my roommates, perhaps we could open our door and into the courtyard. So during our off times, if you could do that. I wonder too if it's, I'm conscious maybe of an incense.
Mm-hmm.
The flowers are strong though too, so maybe we could move the lower one. Might be kind of
the lilies.
I think it could be the what do you call it?
The wild one.
Queen Anne's lace. Yes, it's the yarrow, I think. I'll take that out.
Okay. I've been burning half a stick of incense, and tonight for this I did half of a half. So I can do that. Is anybody allergic to incense?
There was a time when I coughed and it was definitely, I think, incense. I don't know if I'm allergic to it or not. There was something about the smell.
Yeah. Well, I'll try it with a little tiny bit, and if it's too much, we'll just stop burning it entirely. There is now incense that is that doesn't do that. I've just been told, so I will get some of that for the next session. It still makes smoke going up, but there's no scent and no pollution, you could say. Well, it's been a long day. We're supposed to stop at 9, but I think it would be well to stop right now, with your permission. Don't want to disappoint you, but seems like we could use a rest. And please sleep well and long. We do have 8 hours. If we manage to get to bed by 9 or so, we'll have 8 hours of sleep. So once we're caught up, it should be easier. It's not supposed to be torture, this. It's a challenge, but let's take care of ourselves also. So we'll do the refuges and 9 bows.